Well, good morning to each one of you again. It's very difficult for me to grasp at times how God has ordained it to be. When I think of handling the infallible Word of God, there's times that I quake in my spirit, in my heart, because there is no way that there can ever be any good come from this man. It is the Spirit of God, it is the Holy Spirit, it is God that moves and changes lives. It's not man. But why God has ordained it to use man to preach, I do not know, but neither do I doubt and question his divine ways. So this morning, I appreciate the prayers. I appreciate the support. I appreciate all of you being here again this morning. And as the singing was being shared, it touched my spirit. It really did. It touched my heart. There's times that we say things that we don't necessarily grasp the magnitude of it. And when I think of what the youth have shared with us this morning, the covenant that they made, do you understand what they said? Do you grasp what the youth said, the covenant that they made? I hold to the hand. That was a challenge to me, and I trust it's a covenant that you not only sang, but that you purposed in your heart that this is what you're going to do. You're going to place your hand in the hand of the Savior, and he's going to lead, guide, and direct you. And then your petition before God and before Jesus, you petitioned a very profound request. And that is, light the fire of my heart again, again, and then again, and then again, and then again. Don't ever stop petitioning before God that you will light that fire within our soul. This morning, my thoughts are primarily towards the youth, but it's in connection to what the Lord said about the home and the church. And I titled the message this morning, As Christ Loved the Church. And you know, friends, when I think of the calling that God has placed upon each one of our hearts, and that is to serve him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, I want to say to you this morning, friends, that this is not a burdensome calling. It is a calling of joy. It is a calling of peace. It is a calling of empowerment and endowment. It is not a calling of burdensome. He said unto us all, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? What did he say? Hardships? Rest. That's right. How are you finding your walk with God this morning? Are you finding it a burden? Or do you realize that the power of God and the anointing of God and the indwelling of God is rest to your soul? Do you understand peace? He says, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? Easy. And my burden is? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Or do you look into the Christian life and you think, oh, what a drag. Are you walking with Jesus this morning? And it's a burden to you? Oh, my friends, if the parents of these dear youths sitting on the front here, if you are conveying a message that the Christian life is hard, God help the youth. We must understand that what the Word of God says. I'll read the verse again. Come unto me. So that is the initial step. And all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Yes, there are situations and circumstances in life that are laborsome. They are heavy. They are beyond what we can comprehend or do. But he says, if you're in the midst of those things, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Dear youth, this morning, I want you to understand there is no better way to walk through this uneven journey of life than having your hand in the hand of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep. Because he will usher you. He promised you that he is going to usher you all the way to glory. And so when I think of the foundation of my thoughts this morning, I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And there is something that I want for all of us to understand. There is the master template, if you will, of a godly home. And there is something here that I want for us to understand and to see. As we read through here, I want you to take note of a little two-letter word that is a word that links two things together. An inseparable link that you and me cannot separate between the home and the church, between the home and the bride of Christ. We cannot separate it. And the word is as, meaning like or as. Let's read beginning in verse 21. Submit yourself, Ephesians 5, verse 21, it says, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. How? As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, even as Christ is the head of the church. There's that inseparable link. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, here's that inseparable link, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even that inseparable link, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. There is that inseparable term again. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as, there's that inseparable link, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverends her husband. Very, very foundational, friends. Very, very foundational. You know, when we think of the home, we think of the perfect home, if you will. We strive to be that perfect home. But this here, friends, I believe, is the perfect masterpiece of scriptures to help all of us to not only develop that home, but to live in that home. And when I think of these youth here this morning, all my prayer is that they would understand and see the fulfillment of these scriptures. Home is the school of mutual unselfishness and duty, where love is continually learning its true work. So take note of that word, like or as, that inseparable link. As the Lord, as unto the Lord, as Christ is the head of the church, as Christ is the head of the church. He says he has that twice in there. As Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. As the Lord, the church, as his own body, as himself. Friends, it's important that we understand. So now, when you think of, do you understand, friends, that I want to just briefly talk to you as parents, and then I want to zero in on youth. Because do you understand that that inseparable link, that word, is a very good tool for all of us to evaluate how much we love Jesus Christ? Did you know that your love for the church, how you express love for the church, is a direct window into how your marriage is? Did you know that? If your love for the church is reserved, if you do not express a passion and a very a great love for the church, your expression to the love of the church is the same expression of your love in marriage. There's an inseparable link. You study that scripture over and over, and you make those parallels. You look at that link word, as or like. You can't get away from it. Now, young man, I want to ask you this question. The young lady that you have, that you are interested in, if you are in that stage in life, the young lady that you have an interest in, you evaluate how she loves the church. Because how she expresses her love for the church is how you are going to be treated. Young ladies, I want you to understand, you look at these young men. If there's any young man of your interest, you look into their lives and you evaluate how they love the church. And that is how you are going to be treated. If they have a very pathetic view of the church, that's going to be you in the day of marriage. If they are cutting it to pieces and don't value or treasure the church, that's going to be you after marriage. It is an inseparable link. How you love the church is how you are capable of loving in marriage. You cannot separate that. And so I want you to understand, my friends, the first question that I want all young people to ask the question, God, do you want me to be married? Because that is not the call for everybody. So the question is, God, do you want me to be married? Or do you want me
to be single. Now, most times the last is not even considered in most people's minds. And I think it ought to be. Because the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 32 and on, he makes it very clear that that is not necessarily the lot for everybody. And if you want to take your Bibles just briefly and look at that so that you can believe what I'm saying. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, I would have you to know, I would have you without carelessness, that he that is married careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is, sorry, that was unmarried. Should I read that again? How did I read that? Let me read it again. But I would have you to know, I'm getting used to my new teeth. No, I'm not. But I would have you without carelessness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy, both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So, dear friends, I want us to grasp the reality. Marriage is not the calling for everybody, but marriage is ordained by God. And I want for us to understand that there that inseparable link between the home and the church, and how it compares Christ and God, Christ and the church. So we need to evaluate these things. And as I said, you seriously look at your interests and evaluate whether it's going to be a distraction to your walk with God. That is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And so you take a look at some of these things. How are you as young men and young women to conduct yourself in light of Ephesians chapter 5? The church and the home are to be your models of how to conduct yourself. And I want to ask this question, young men. You might ask the question, how am I supposed to conduct myself? And it was asked this morning in the discussion, how can and are we to conduct ourselves? And the question is, can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? It is very important, dear friends, that we raise young men and young women that are on fire for God, not on fire with their passions, in allowing the five senses to rule their lives, but that they allow the Spirit of God to rule their lives, because the proverb writer makes it very clear that, young men, you are attracted to the beauty that God has created in women. And so therefore, you must handle that very, very discreetly. And likewise for young women, don't be a foolish woman. Don't be an evil woman. I think we need to turn to Proverbs chapter 6 just to point a few of those things out. It is very important, dear friends, because this is the result will either be hell or heaven. It is extremely important. And look at what it says in verse 20.
Well, verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 6 starts the same way. My son. Verse 20, it goes on to say, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Young man, did you hear that? All the young men here this morning in front here, let's read that verse together, okay? Young men, ready? My son, that's correct. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproof of instruction are the way of life. Did you hear that? That's a way of life. You're going to get told. Receive it. Because this is going to equip you to develop that model home that you want to develop. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burnt? Can one go upon the hot coals and his feet not be burnt? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her, shall not be innocent. Men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. I'll cease reading there. It gives us a picture here, friends, of the importance of understanding your makeup. It is very important. And so therefore, you need to take a look at what God is looking out for you. Very important. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. In Psalms 112, it is so important for us to understand that God is calling for a good man and a virtuous woman. That is what God is calling for. How are we doing, friends? How are we doing? Young men, are you equipping yourself to be that husband and that head of the home? And that is something that I want for each one of us to understand, young men and young ladies. Casual dating is a very, very dangerous thing to do. I want all of you to understand and ask the question, why are you interested in dating? Are you interested in dating as a means to get to marriage? Are you dating with marriage in vision? Are you dating with the purpose of getting married? If you're not, why are you dating? This casual dating has burned a lot of people. And God is looking for a good man and a virtuous woman. And He equips you to do so. Dating without marriage in vision will get you into a lot of trouble. Some time ago, I was flying from Toronto to Vancouver. And I have this burden on my heart for young men and women to establish a good foundation for their lives, because you need to have Ephesians chapter 5 in vision in the process of dating. And so what I did in that on that flight, I put together a dating outline. And I try to make a practice of all the youth that start dating, that we go out for a dessert and a good time together. And then we sit down and we go over this dating outline. And I would like to share that with you this morning. You can add to it. You can subtract. It is solely some things that I have put together. And some of the things that are put together in this dating outline are as a result of my mistakes. So I don't want you to look at me and think that I had all my ducks in a row in life, because as you heard, I did not become a Christian until I was 28 years old. And I want to affirm to you, none of you young men and none of you young women have the capacity within yourself to control the passions that you are created with. Not one of you has the capacity to control it. Every single man and woman, boy or girl, adolescent, you need the power of God in order for you to have the power to withhold the passions that are awakened in your life. The other thing is, none of you ever had the experience ever in your life to deal with the awakening desires in your body. This is your first time. You never had this chance before. There are some desires, some natural God-given desires that are awakened in you. And you need the wisdom of God and the power of God and the counsel of your parents and commitment to God and commitment to your parents and commitment to each other. You need all that help to be able to be pure in the process of expressing love. The other thing that is warring against us so much is the concept, the worldly concept of love. The world doesn't understand love. As sure as John 14 expresses that the world does not understand the Holy Spirit because they do not have it, the same thing is with us, friends. We have to understand. We need the power of God. We need that equipment that God put together for us to keep us pure. So I started in with Galatians chapter 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the first thing that I want you to know is a need to make a commitment. If dating is something that you want to do, and you sense God leading in it, the first thing you must ask yourself is, Lord, what is your will? That is a commitment, not a feeling. Lord, I am here to do your will. And then I want for you to consider this. Establish the very, very early onset, when two get together, establishing a dating outline that you will commit to God and each other. The question that we all need to ask, what do you want out of this relationship? What are you willing to put into this relationship? You know, it is so exciting and so rich. It is so exciting to see two young people joining together in a relationship. It is so exciting. And, you know, they have rose-colored glasses on, and oh, the whole future looks so, oh, beautiful. So exciting. But stop. It's exciting today, but what about tomorrow? I want you to understand, young man, this is, I put this down, and young man, listen carefully. Four words that I want you to remember. Don't be a thief. I want you, this is a mistake that I made in our relationship. The very day that I started dating, I took ownership. She was mine. Is that true? That is absolutely false. Every one of you young men, I want you to understand that the woman that you are about to date or going to date or if you are going to date, I want you to understand that that girl is not yours. That girl is the possessions of her parents. And treat her that way. She is not yours. She is somebody else's. All you are doing is becoming acquainted. The day that the father walks that girl down the aisle and presents her to you is the day that you are called to take ownership and responsibility for her. Till then, she is not yours. She is under the authority and under the responsibility of her parents. Don't forget that, and don't be a thief. Because if you take of her or from her, you are a thief and a robber. She's not yours. Treat her with great deal of respect. Use Ephesians chapter 5 as an outline of how to treat your girlfriend. The other question, how will we control, and these are some things to consider in the process of putting together a dating outline. How will we control and use the love we have for each other to bring glory to God? How will we interact when we are by ourselves? Talk about these things. Put it onto paper. Talk to each other. Point out, make perimeters, friends. Make a guideline. Early on, talk together about these things. Friends, we have an enemy of our soul. And if you're not old enough to talk about these things, then you're not old enough to date. Agree with each other. A level of physical touch. Make that a commitment. Make that a covenant to each other. And I highly recommend hands off is the strongest and the best recommendation. And I'll tell you why. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1. Now let's take a look at the context of this. Let's read the verse, and then I will endeavor to describe it. Verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says this. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me. Listen carefully. It is good for a man, circle that word, not to touch a woman. That's Bible. That's Bible. That's not Mennonitism. That's not your rigid parents. That is not an idiotic standard. It is Bible. And let me explain it this way. This here is in regards to marriage.
Now, I'll ask you youth, guys. Let me see what you think. Would you feel okay if I would go and touch another woman? What do you think? Okay, that didn't take long. What about this side? No. All right, so the answer is pretty good. Why not? Why not? What's wrong with it? Why shouldn't I? Do you know why? Because I'm married. And this, what it is saying, is that would be outside of our marriage covenant. So it is not appropriate. So it is really saying, outside of the woman that I am married to, I am not to touch another woman. How many of you are married? None. Every single solitary one of you is outside of marriage. Therefore, this scripture applies to you as much as it does to me. That is God's standard, not my standard. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Now, when I think of touch, the flexibility in my mind is hands. And if you choose not to hold hands, bless your heart. I'm only saying this because I want to be able to, out of honor and respect, still shake the hands of the ladies here as we meet each other. And so out of honor and respect, I think that is still an avenue that we can express respect and honor. But outside of that, my friends, it's inappropriate. It's wrong. And I want to give this illustration. I think I used it this morning and I'll use it again now. Is the entire part of the very everything of your body that is covered with clothing is not for another person to touch. That is off limits. That is why it's to be covered. So, some suggestions. Some things for you to schedule into your courtship. Number one is prayer. Number two is Bible reading. And the first thing that I want you to do in your time together, in the process of developing a dating outline between you and your girlfriend, between the two of you, is make it a Bible study to what God says about these things. The Bible is not quiet about purity. And purity is to be talked about. Purity is a guide for the well-being of your soul. Casual dating is a deadly thing, so serious dating must be done in the fear of the Lord, under the direction of the divine Word of God. Another thing that you need to schedule into your relationship, courtship, is the church program. Don't isolate yourself. Interact with the youth group. Just because you are dating doesn't mean that you two become an island. You will hurt yourself and the rest of the youth group if you do that. Interaction with your parents is essential. Talk about it and give your parents the full permission to inquire about the purity of your relationship. And fathers and mothers, talk to your children. Don't send them out and say, "Oh, I hope they do fine." They have passions in their soul, like you and I do, and they need counsel, direction, and love to give them help in it. Establish time perimeters, a guide of how often you will be together in a week, a guide on how and how often you will communicate between times, with texting, Facebook, okay, Google Plus too, if you want to be that way.
How often are you going to communicate? Because if you're going to share everything on Facebook and Google Plus and texting, you're going to sit together like a two mutts side by side and have nothing to say but to be inflamed with passion. Make some of these perimeters. Talk about it. And you know what? You know another thing that's very important is establish a time when you're going to go home. Because there's a time that you might need that guide. Establish the word, oh, that C word, I know you use, you might not like it. It's called a curfew. All right? And instead of letting your parents make this curfew, establish it between the two of you. Very, very important. Because there is times when the body gets tired, the flesh gets weak, and the clock is not something that you have in your vocabulary. And you know what? A maximum time together alone. And in big, bold letters, capital letters. If you get tired, go home! No sleeping together. Case closed, absolutely zero tolerance. When you're tired, go home. It's not very dangerous when you're sleeping together, it's when you wake up. Write out your dating outlines together. And then I want both of you to take a pen, not a pencil, a pen, and you sign your name on that covenant. This is what I'm standing for. Your girlfriend will know where you're at, and your man or your guy will know where you're at. And understand, friends, that you are accountable to God. And there's three things that you're accountable. Listen to here. You are accountable to God, you're accountable to your parents, and you're accountable to the brotherhood, the church. Make this covenant and make it sure. And then, when the flesh gets weak, the mind gets tired, and time has a way of causing us to forget, and then we can say, wow, did I say that? Well, yes, you did. And I will give this dating outline to Brother William, because along with this dating outline is a very simple graph of why I'm saying what I'm saying. The graph starts here. You start dating together. You have your moral standards up very high. You start in with good intentions and with all sincerity of heart. But with time, feelings arise. Love has a way of growing. And I will tell you, if you have your moral standards high and you go beyond holding hands, and it might travel over simply to, oh, that goodnight kiss is okay. I want you to know there's one statement. Every step here that I'm talking about is encouraging and stimulating. Even holding hands is encouraging and stimulating. And what you begin will grow. What you begin will grow. So some people say, oh, that simple goodnight kiss, right? Mm-hmm. Well, then comes the hug. What's wrong with a hug? Well, do you know, I'll be this blunt. A hug is sexually stimulating, and it's simply called foreplay. And that is where your moral purity is down in the dumps. And you don't have a lake to stand on. And it just goes on. Moral purity is so essential for you to enter into marriage so that Ephesians chapter 5 can be approached and fulfilled without torment. There are many marriages today in dire straits because of unfaithfulness in courtship. It does not raise its head till maybe year 2, 3, 5, sometimes 10 years into marriage, and that ugly head arises, and there is no sensitivity in marriage. There is a cold interaction. There is not, they don't understand love because they have lust and love all intertwined. It's an awful thing. And I believe that every pastor in the conservative Mennonite church knows exactly what I'm talking about. And then many times, the church is then called to pick up the pieces and try to mold them together again. I want you to know, young men, if you are dating without a vision of marriage, get out. Because then, if that is not your vision, the only thing you're in it for is lust and fulfillment. So, dear friends, my prayer is that I will continue on this evening with marriage. But I wanted you to understand that Ephesians chapter 5 is for you, young men and young women, to have in focus, because I trust that is where you want to head towards. And I freely will share the dating outline that I put together, and it's not copyrighted. You can edit it, and you can add it, and you can even throw it in the garbage if you so wish. But I really beg, I'll close with this verse, Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, what happens? That's correct. Where there is no vision, people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now I want to reiterate again, that word vision is not just my vision is on the clock and oh boy, I see it's 10 after 12. Anyhow, that's not what the word vision is about. What the word vision means is this: a divine communication is what that word vision is. And wherever there is young boys, young men, young women, fathers and mothers, without divine communication with God, you're dead. That includes dating, and that includes marriage. We need the wisdom and the grace of God for two to become one. May that be our heart cry, that we work together for the cause of Christ. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Heaven, thank you for this opportunity this morning to surround around your word. We thank